You are listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. You can find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, TalkShoe and Verbal. Be sure to visit www.aulc.us for more free resources.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke chapter 17 verses 5 to 10. Starting at verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed," the Lord said, "you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Which one of you having a slave tending sheep or plowing will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? Instead, will he not tell him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, get ready, and serve me while I eat and drink, later you can eat and drink'? Does he thank that slave because he did what was commanded? In the same way, when you have done all that you were commanded, you should say, 'We are good for nothing slaves, we've only done our duty.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries. I am Dr. Rob White here with this week's message, and it's glad that you could spend a little bit of your weekend with us. And we're going to go through a few things here, and then we'll get you about your business again. So thank you again for watching, for listening, and we'll get on with it. First off, let's talk about faith. Now, you have faith when you believe in something that you can't see or you can't prove. You have faith when you believe in something no matter what might happen or what anyone tells you. Faith is something that you feel inside. Now let's talk about believing in things that you can't see. Now, I'm sure you can think of a lot of things that you can't see, but you believe these things to be true anyway. Wind is the first thing that comes to mind whenever I think of things that I can't see, but I believe it to be true. Now, we can't see the wind, but we believe it's there because we see what happens when the wind moves through, say, the leaves of the trees, or we can feel it blow through our hair or touch our faces. What about germs? We can't see germs unless we look under a microscope. But when we get a cold or our noses feel a little bit stuffy or whatever, we know some sort of germ is responsible. During the darkness of night, we can't see the sun. But we have faith that the sun will come up every morning and will light our world. I'm sure there's a lot of other examples of things that you can't see, but you believe exist and you believe are true. Now in the Bible, Jesus talks about our faith in God. We can't see God. We can't prove that God exists. But the Bible tells us that God is love, and we can see and feel God's love all around us each and every day in the beauty of nature and in the kindness of others. Jesus tells us that faith in God is very powerful. He says that we only need the faith the size of a mustard seed to have great and even surprising things happen. We can choose to believe. Faith is a gift from God. We can ask God to increase our faith, even if it's small. We can ask God to make it strong if we feel our faith is weak. Our gospel lesson opens with a plea from Jesus' disciples today. They cry out, "Increase our faith. Increase our faith." Now that's a plea that we can all understand. We've been there already. We've done that. We've got the t-shirt. And we've already prayed many times, I'm sure, "Increase our faith." Now that's an especially good prayer when we're faced with adversity. Illness, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job. We say, "Lord, increase our faith." A friend of mine went through a foreclosure, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. I remember him saying, everything happens for a reason. I heard that as a statement of faith, but also as a plea for faith. Now, he didn't understand why he should be suffering, but he was willing to believe that somehow this was all part of God's plan. He didn't understand God's plan here, but I also heard his comment as being a plea saying, Lord, increase my faith. Have you ever prayed, increase my faith? If not, let me suggest that you memorize that little prayer. Keep it handy. Increase my faith. I think of little prayers like that as like hip pocket prayers. Prayers that can carry you through and you can carry with you for use when you need them. There are lots of little prayers like that. Lord, give me strength. That's a good hip pocket prayer right there. Lord, forgive me. That's another great one. Jesus' disciples prayed, increase our faith. They were acknowledging that their faith was somehow deficient, that they didn't have the kind of faith that they needed. They didn't have the kind of faith that Jesus wanted them to have. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt maybe a quart low, maybe even 2 quarts low when it comes to your faith? We tend to use that kind of language, a quart low, when we get our oil checked in our cars. If your engine is a quart low, it tells you two things. First, there's a problem. Your engine is either leaking oil or it's burning oil. Another thing a quart low tells you is your engine is in distress. The engine that's a quart low doesn't run quite as well as an engine that's been properly serviced and topped off. Your car is praying, give me some oil, increase my lubrication. So when we pray, increase our faith, we're admitting that things aren't quite right with us. That we're feeling a quart low. Increase our faith is a prayer that God will intervene and fix what ails us. It's also a prayer that God will see us through the day. So why did Jesus' disciples pray, increase our faith? Our gospel reading starts off with verse 5 of Luke chapter 17. But let's look at verses 1 through 4 here. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus tells his disciples that they better not cause anyone to stumble. He warns them that causing someone to stumble would subject them to serious punishment. That's kind of scary, isn't it? How could we ourselves cause someone to stumble? Yeah, there are a lot of ways. Anytime we fail to live a Christ-like life, someone could look at us and say, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I really don't think I need it. But we all fail to live Christ-like lives at one point or another, don't we? We're always going to be vulnerable. We're always going to be subject to God's judgment. So we pray, increase our faith. That's also a good time to use another one of your hip pocket prayers, Lord, please forgive me. So verses 1 and 2, they warn us not to cause someone to stumble. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus tells his disciples that they must forgive their brother or their sister who sins against them. He says, if your brother or sister sins against you 7 times in the day, and 7 times return saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. We see that in verse 4, Luke chapter 17. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to forgive people, especially people that are repeat offenders. A friend of mine once said, Jesus tells us that if someone strikes us on the right cheek, we should turn the other cheek. But if he strikes me on the left cheek, he'd better watch out. I think he's reading just a little too much into that one. But Jesus says, if he sins against you seven times in the day, and seven times returns saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So it's no wonder that Jesus' disciples prayed, increase our faith. They had heard what Jesus was asking of them, and they were thinking, I don't think I can do that. So they pray instead, increase our faith. Now, if you take Jesus seriously, you also need to find a need to pray, increase my faith, because, well, let's face it, Jesus calls us to do some really hard things. Jesus' response to this increase our faith prayer, it's a bit disappointing. We would like him to respond in the same way a good mechanic would respond when our car says, hey, I'm a quart low on oil. A good mechanic can fix that in less than 5 minutes. He or she will raise the hood, get a quart of oil, put it in the engine, top it off, everything's good. We want Jesus to do something like that. Something like that when his disciples pray, increase our faith. We want Jesus to give us a quart of faith. But that's not how Jesus responds here. Instead, an instant fix, Jesus gives a mild rebuke. He says, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could tell this sycamore tree, be uprooted, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We see that in verse 6 of our text today. Now, in that response, Jesus tells his disciples two things. First, he tells them that faith is like dynamite. It's small, but it's very, very powerful. Faith, the size of a tiny mustard seed, would give you the power to do the impossible, to plant a tree in the ocean. But then Jesus says, if you had the faith like a grain of mustard seed, he was telling his disciples that they didn't even have that little dab of faith. Instead, he simply tells them they didn't even have a smidgen of faith. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds around. Jesus chooses this tiny seed to set up a contrast with a large sycamore tree, engaging in hyperbole to demonstrate the great power of even the smallest bit of faith. It's the same kind of exaggerated language that he's going to use later to describe a camel going through the eye of a needle in Luke chapter 18. Is Jesus suggesting that the disciples have the required faith? Or is he suggesting they don't? Some scholars believe that Jesus is affirming the disciples' faith, while others believe that his words constitute a rebuke to disciples for their lack of faith. In the parallel story here in Matthew's gospel, the disciples failed to heal an epileptic boy. Jesus says that their failure was one of faith. Matthew 17, verse 20. Since Luke leaves the matter of disciples' faith unsettled, we should probably let Matthew settle this for us. If we do that, Jesus means if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, which you do not yet have. The time will come, however, after the resurrection, when they will have such faith. But the required faith is faith in God. Not faith in self, or faith in money, or weapons, or raw power, or people. The power behind the faith that Jesus mentions here is God's power. And it's faith in God that allows us to appropriate that power. Now, Matthew's version is a more familiar one. It speaks of moving a mountain instead of uprooting a tree. In Luke's version, Jesus speaks of uprooting a sycamino tree, probably even a large mulberry tree, then planting it in the seed. The point is that faith, even in small quantities, has great power. The person of faith taps into God's power, which makes all things possible. Even moving trees, which is difficult, and causing them to grow in salt water, which is impossible. It's not our faith that works these wonders, but it's God who stands behind our faith. Our faith then is like a $1,000 bill printed on money that's worth only a penny. Such a bill has value only as it's backed by the full faith and credit of the government. So, also our faith has value only because God blesses faith and empowers the faithful. Now, what is curious here is that Jesus does not actually grant the request of the disciples, but in response, he merely describes what great faith is. Through his further teaching, his examples, and the provision of the Spirit, he produces in his apostles a mighty faith, one that will proclaim the good news boldly and gladly, and it will gladly suffer persecution. Jesus will nudge the disciples along one small step at a time. But only after the resurrection will they have great faith and great power. So how then do we get this powerful faith? The disciples had it right. Faith is the gift of God. So we can pray that God will increase our faith. Time spent in prayer is fundamental to faith development. But there are also other things that we can do to cooperate with God who wants to increase our faith. For example, association with people of faith will build faith. So our participation in the worship and the life of the church is important. The scriptures inform and correct our faith. Without the guidance of the scriptures, we tend to have faith in something smaller than God, like money, a charismatic person, or maybe even the government. Something that will ultimately disappoint us. The scriptures keep drawing us to God so that we can develop the kind of powerful faith that Jesus speaks of here. We grow in faith as we act in faith. Every gift of God is strengthened by the exercise of it, and this is true of faith. But one word of caution here. Just as the ordinary foot soldier sees too little to know how well or how badly the battle's going, the ordinary Christian also has limited vision. The early Christians who were dying on crosses alongside the roads or in the Colosseum, were also acting in faith. And some may have felt that God had betrayed their faith. We can see how their blood was not shed in vain, but instead became the manure that promoted the church's strong growth. Faith means believing, even when the outcome seems in doubt. The disciples had it right when they prayed to increase our faith. They were thinking of faith as something that they could only get from God. They were thinking of it as a gift, a God-given gift. And that's true. We need God to give us faith. We cannot get it on our own. There's also another side here too. God gives people various gifts. Some people are gifted musically. They have a natural, God-given talent that makes it possible for them to create beautiful music. Other people often are gifted athletically. They have a natural, God-given talent for running or jumping or throwing or swimming. But if you could talk with those gifted people, you would soon find that even though they have a gift, they had to develop it. The old question is, how do you get to Broadway? And of course, the answer is practice, practice, practice. Good music is the product of two things. First, it's a gift. Secondly, it requires practice to develop the gift. The same is true of athletes. I could never be a major league pitcher because I don't have a gift. But major league pitchers, they don't just get out there without working at it. They have to practice, practice, practice. In a sense then, God partners with us when He gives us a gift. Whether it's a musical gift or an athletic gift or a faith gift, God gives the gift, but He expects us to exercise it. Without the exercise, the practice, well, nothing good is likely to happen. The disciples were right on track when they asked Jesus to increase their faith. But Jesus was also on the right track when He didn't just hand them a cord of faith. Notice what He did here. When His disciples prayed, increase our faith, Jesus said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could tell this sycamore tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now that sounds as if Jesus was ignoring their request. But that's not exactly what He was doing. Not at all. He had done His part. He had already given them the gift. Then He gave them a vision of what their faith could be, what their faith could do, what a powerhouse their faith would become if they would simply develop their God-given faith. They could do anything. They could even tell a tree to uproot itself and plant itself in the ocean, and the tree would do it. I know that's hyperbole, of course. Exaggeration for effect. It's a bit of drama to make a point. Jesus was telling His disciples that nothing would be impossible for them if they would just develop the faith gift they'd already received. Well, how could they do that? How can we do that? How can we develop the faith gift that each of us has already received? Well, part of the answer has to do with traditional spiritual disciplines and disciples. Prayer, reading the Bible, and attending public worship. Part of it has to do with obedience. The more you obey Jesus, the easier it gets to obey. Part of it has to do with rubbing shoulders with other people of faith, especially with faith giants. Keep in mind that a big league pitcher has to practice with other gifted players. It would not be a big help for this big league pitcher to practice with a little league team. We too need to fellowship with giants of faith. We could do some of that by reading books by people like C.S. Lewis and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But we can also do some of it right here. We don't have any famous faith people in our congregation that I know of, but we do have people of great faith right here in our congregation. Rock solid people who have developed their faith by living it over the years. Get to know these kind of people. Join a small study group or a small group to get acquainted. Finally, stepping out in faith helps us to develop our faith gift. We grow in faith as we act in faith. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands in the South Pacific, known today as the Republic of Vanuatu. Patton wanted to translate the Gospel of John into the native language, but he could not find a native word that meant to believe or to have faith. And without such a word, no translation was possible. Then one day an islander came into his office, plopped himself down wearily in a chair, and he used a native word that meant, "I'm putting my whole weight down." When he heard that, Patton said, "That's exactly the word I needed." He proceeded with the translation of the Gospel of John, and every time he came to a place where he needed a word for believe, he wrote, "I'm putting my whole weight down." So pray, increase our faith, and then take the ball and run with it. Use the faith gift that God has given you and make the most of your faith. And if you do that, you'll receive great power and great blessings. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. I'm Dr. Rob White for the AULC Ministries. Again, happy that you could spend just a little bit of your weekend with us and watching and listening, and we thank you for that. And we hope to all see you again next week. So thank you, and have a great rest of your weekend.